You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is Monday, August 11th, 8:06 in the morning. Nice to have you back here up north. Parker Olson is our producer down in Madison Studio A2, and as we often do this time of the week, we head to Madison Studio A1. Where we find John and Gordy from WMDX down there.
Good morning.
Along Pat. Are we joined this time by the disembodied voice of Catherine Lake,
Yes.
Media's own?
Yes. Yes, you are.
That voice floats around the studio every once in a while.
I know.
She's on the other side of the studio, but we ran out of cameras, I guess. I don't know.
and yet Parker's just sitting right here, over here in A2.
There he
What's
is.
Up with that?
Parker,
just take your camera and take that camera, just walk it down to A1 if you wouldn't mind.
All right, you're going to get a POV shot of our office. Here we go.
No, that's okay.
Well, there is another camera right by her, but apparently we have no control over that.
This is not a TV station. We do not have control over all the cameras all the time.
Okay.
You know?
I'm good.
We should be so lucky. By the way, can I jump right into Grandpa telling stories here when you talk about cameras everywhere in TV?
Great. Yeah.
You know how we take all those tower cams for granted now, you know, that they show you views of the entire city and things like that? Mm-hmm. Well, those were relatively new, you know, 20 years ago, that somebody would actually go up the tower and put up a camera and, you know, you could call it up. And we had a little joystick. This was at Channel 13 in Eau Claire. And you could kind of move it around and show people different shots of the city. And it was all fine and good. One night, the 10 o'clock newscast ends, and as we're looking out there, we're noticing all these flames shooting up from the roof of a building.
Wow.
And we're like, well, this is not good. And
no. You know,
So we called the dispatch center there and said, you know, hey, guys, we think there's a building on fire over here. We're looking at it on our tower cam. And we told them roughly where it is because we didn't know the exact address. It's 10:30 at night, you know, couldn't really tell. And a couple minutes later, we hear them say, oh, you mean over there in the area by the crematory? Like, okay.
Wow.
So,
wow.
So, grandma Yikes. Was being disposed of at the time, and we reported it as a building fire. So,
who's doing that at 10:30 at night?
I don't know. Maybe that's when they were just cleaning it. I don't know. I mean, is there ever a right time to run that thing in the middle of a city, you know? And see, and if the flames are coming up, that's a chimney sweep situation, you got to think, you know?
I'm
that's
done
right.
With this conversation.
Yeah. Ew. Well, anyway, this took a dark turn real fast. Let's go to some lighter fare like storm damage. We've heard all about Milwaukee and our hearts are out to those folks, but you guys in Madison didn't get out unscathed either.
Yeah, we only had a few inches of rain. I don't know, 2 or 3, 4 inches maybe, but it caused some problems downtown here with apparently a fire underneath because there were manhole covers. I saw a video this morning of copious amounts of smoke coming out of the manhole covers. Nice. I guess it blew a couple of them off, and they were dealing with some power outages for quite a while in some parts of the city right near the Capitol.
The isthmus is burning. What the heck?
The isthmus is burning.
We don't know what's going on underneath those manhole covers in
Seriously.
Madison. It is a big mystery. We had a big explosion about a year ago.
I always just thought of them as that was Scott Walker's getaway tunnel back during the Acton demonstrations. I remember hearing about that. There's like a whole bat cave system under there, apparently.
Yeah.
But this
morning, it seems like everything's back to normal. The stoplights are working okay, and power, I think, went briefly out around here in the station, but I guess we got everything back in order. So
In all your years, as people are dealing with their own flooded basements, either one of you get hit especially hard by nature at some point. I talked earlier about, you know, for years we had basement water issues, and it took us 20 years to finally deal with it, but we did. But either of you have anything like that, or have you been lucky?
I actually had a leaky basement at the very seam at the bottom. Mm-hmm. Edge of the wall, and we used to get leaking in there, and then we put up some water resistant fabrics next to the house, against the house and away from the house by about 6 or 7 feet, and now we do not get the ingress of water in the basement anymore.
Wait a minute. You're using like that Flex Seal that guy is all the time on those commercials?
Did you just
like
stuff.
Slap but, some you know, tape maybe, on your foundation?
Maybe,
or
maybe that would be kind of nice. Yes, I would think so. But, you know, you remember way back when, I can't remember what year it was, but we had the major flooding here in Madison. Mm-hmm. It was huge. Yeah, we were in New Orleans at the time of this major flooding.
Weird.
Yeah, and we had like a foot of water in our garage basement room, and it was just awful. We had a tenant above living above us, and he went down there and helped mop that up for us on vacation.
Well, and you know, Civic Media's Earl Ingram had 3.5 feet in his basement.
Yes.
And his was, of course, sewage backup. That's kind of the problem in the larger metropolises like Chicago. Mm-hmm. We had backup sewage 4, 5, 6 times. And we finally convinced our building, and they didn't take much convincing because there are 2 units in this 6-unit building under subterranean. But, but you know, that's where I slept. It wasn't a basement. It was my house. And so we had to put a check valve in, $10,000 check valve. And now the neighbors have the problem. It doesn't get as far as us.
Well, did the city not do anything about that?
Eventually they did. Several years later, after we got our check valve, and the rest of the neighbors are like, well, we need one of those too, if this is going to. The city came in and fixed it.
Well, according to that chat, they do have like 3 or 4 feet of sewage back up in a lot of basements in Milwaukee. And they're blaming talk radio, right-wing talk radio, for not allowing the city to dump that water into Lake Michigan, the runoff from these large storms. So it backs up into people's homes instead. So just a little message to everybody out there. Blame right-wing radio for your backup.
I don't want it going in the lake.
Well, no.
Going in the lake.
But I had explained how when the Milwaukee Deep Tunnel System was being built 30 years ago, and I lived in Milwaukee at the time, and, you know, the purpose of it is, you know, spot on, is these deep tunnels would hold all the rain from a typical rain, so that it didn't just all wash into Lake Michigan, and then you could treat it, and you know, as time allowed. Nothing. There's no system that prepares for 13 inches of rain in a couple of hours. Yeah. You know,
crazy. A month's worth of rain.
Yeah. So things, you know, things do back up, and it's very unfortunate. And again, I hope this is where, you know, you really test your insurance companies, most of whom will tell you, well, that's not flood insurance. You know,
yes.
I mean, we actually did buy the federal flood insurance. I mean, we're up on a high bank, so it's not like the river's going to reach us, but we just thought from the rains and everything else, they tell you, even if it's heavy rain, a lot of time your homeowner's insurance policy won't cover it. It doesn't cover a flood.
Yep.
And we were talking too many people find out the hard way. Go ahead.
We were talking with Pam Yonke earlier this morning, our agricultural expert, and she was talking about how they got all the farmers got wise to this and got everybody out of the state fair. Okay, all the animals and every, you know, they saw this coming, and fortunately they got everybody out in time. But boy, that had to be a process.
I was a little concerned there. Yeah, when I saw the posts, people asking about the animals and getting them all out of there. And thankfully they did. And you saw the video of it. You know, first it was ankle deep, and then it was knee deep. And then you're seeing these cars. I mean, some of these parking lots in West Allis that are under, you know, four feet of water or more. And every one of those cars is, you know, functionally dead. I'm sure some could be fixed back up, but they're going to have no resale value whatsoever. So it's just a terrible thing. But you were talking to Pam as well. She was recently on a train trip through Canada.
That's right. Yes, a listener appreciation train ride.
I appreciate my listeners. Where's my train?
What the hell?
They went up through the Canadian Rockies.
They did. Instead of, it was very dry. Like a 10-day trip. Very dry, and that's why they're having the forest fires.
Oh.
So that, I who can imagine that Canada is dry?
Yeah.
You think it's rainy, it's nice and cool up there, but instead, they do have a lot of dry weather, and that's why they have forest burning.
Now, yes, Pat, you must know about this. You've been in this business for a long time. And
yes, I'm old.
Reporting on all, reporting on all this. Our marketing director, John Scott, said, you guys don't understand. You have to live in California to understand. And California, like Canada, has these remote areas where you just cannot put them out. The winds, like they travel inch by inch.
That's why when you see these letters from Republican legislators and members of Congress, and I mean, it's just so embarrassing. It's like, let's just send a fire truck up there, near the Arctic Circle.
Don't you need some water, do you?
Yeah.
Complaining is going to take care of the problem. Yeah. A letter from legislators.
It's the wilderness. It's like they can't comprehend. And it's like, fine, just keep that to yourself, But the train trip, I've been on that a train trip or a similar one that starts in the Vancouver area. And Vancouver, that's a gorgeous area, takes you through the Rockies. There's a stop in Kamloops, which is gorgeous. And then on to Banff, which is one of my favorite places on earth. It is just so gorgeous. But the train ride that I was on, and it was designed for, tourism. Okay, this is an Amtrak where you're all squeezed into the cattle car. The seats, it's like two and two. They're like first class airline seats. And you're sitting right there, of course, the glass top on the train. And they never stop bringing food. There's just a food cart with maybe this appetizer. And then right away, the food cart's coming again. Hey, maybe you'd like some of this. Maybe you'd like some of this. Now, obviously, you pay for that. But if anybody, the difference between a train trip, here in the States versus that train trip through the Canadian Rockies, if you get the chance, do it. I got to do it through holiday vacations. I took trips all over with holiday vacation, where it was like, join my lovely wife, Sherry, and me as we go on a 10-day tour of, and we did Australia, New Zealand, and Hawaii, and New England, Fall Colors. And John and Gordy, all these years in radio, how many trips have you been sent on for free by some kind of an underwriting sponsor?
Zero.
This is an outrage. This needs to stop.
Stop riling my host, would you please?
This needs to stop.
I was offered one time, and I turned it down because I didn't want I didn't want the responsibility of having to deal with 30 or 40 other people.
Listeners.
And everybody gather by the elevator at 7:15, and we're going to go have breakfast.
We figured that one out.
I didn't want to have to do any of that. Really?
They figured that holiday vacations, in this case, always sends a professional tour manager, and then you're kind of like the celebrity face. But we found out where you're most helpful as the celebrity is at the back end. You're basically a sheepdog. So as you're back there, you're making conversation, but you're kind of moving them along as you're doing it. Gee, and the tour manager just thinks you're the best because you're willing to do that. It's like, I'm talking as I'm ushering people toward the bus or the train or whatever. It's fine. It works out really well. So I hope you guys get a chance to do that.
So you missed a big trip, man.
Yes, I did.
You know what? Well, there will be others.
Really?
I don't know about that. I'm speaking. Your sales department.
Once again,
your
stop
opportunity.
It.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Talking to John and Gordy from WMDX. You can hear their show 6 to 8 a.m. in Madison or through the Civic Media app. And we're going to continue chattering over here, though some of you will take a local update. And then when we're all back together in about 15 minutes, we're going to be talking to State Representative Jody Emerson from Eau Claire, who just got back from the annual conference for the National Conference of State Legislators. And the work that they do and how these groups are not all created equal, some dedicated to service, some just dedicated to partisan politics. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
The Milwaukee Brewers went down early 5-0 to the New York Mets. Was it over? No. It's never over until they say it's over. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? No.
Right.
Wait a minute. He's on a roll. Go with it. Yeah. The Mets did score in each of the first four innings, but Isaac Collins, bottom of the ninth inning, walk-off home run. Brewers beat the Mets 7-6, extend the winning streak to 9 games, 3 sweeps in a row.
Yeah.
And now it's off to take on the Pittsburgh Pirates at American Family Field, 6:05 the pregame. On several Civic Media stations, Freddie Peralta pitching tonight. We are now in the territory, John and Gordy, where even the non-baseball fans are like going to get caught up in this because this is now this is the fun part of sports.
It is.
Yeah.
When, when they do is win, you know.
Well, that's true. And the Cubs losing.
Yeah.
I watched that game last night. My wife watches those games and they lost.
Yeah. They're fading.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, I think they're 5 or 6 games behind the Brewers now.
Yes.
And that's territory.
And see, now that I care about, whereas, as I've said before, people getting all worked up about the Packers losing their first preseason game, I do not get worked up about preseason.
No.
At all. This is practice. What are we talking about? Practice? We're talking about practice here. And it's just preseason. Nobody else? Allen Iverson? Anybody? No?
Okay. Right. Well, let's just try and players out. That's all.
Well back to the Brewers. Because of the flooding, they had to shut down a couple of the parking lots, right?
They said about half of the parking spaces were flooded, and they put out this announcement in the mid-morning saying, look, we're still going to hold the game. We understand you probably can't make it, but we, you know, the game's got to go on, and we apologize if you have to park farther away. And we were going to give away all these Jacob Mizorowski t-shirts, I think, and, you know, we'll give them away, but we can also pick another day to give them away. No, sellout crowd. They all showed up.
Wow.
Because winning's That's contagious amazing. That way, you know?
Yeah. Mm.
It's a lot of fun to watch. So we mentioned before talking to Pam Yonke from the Midwest Farm Report about her recent trip, but you guys also were talking to her about butter or something that is allegedly... The butter of the future.
This could be a threat to Wisconsin dairy. They're making butter out of the same ingredients that butter is made out of. They're just not using animals to make it anymore.
That doesn't even make sense.
And the reporter that covered this story said it tastes exactly like butter.
Now, this is Bill Gates' idea. Right?
Bill Gates is backing up the company that developed this butter. They use the same elements, the same chemicals used for it. And it's not a list of crazy chemicals you can't pronounce. They're actual just basic elements of butter. They put it together, and it's a sustainability thing where you don't have to have cows out in the field and manufacturing the butter. It's just manufactured basically in a lab someplace or in some company that makes it now.
Now you wake up the next morning and like your hands have turned into flippers, but there's other chromosomal things, but it's fine. I'm sure manufacturing, tinkering with food like this is fine.
I know it's carbon dioxide and oxygen, and I don't know what else, but it's just these basic elements that make up butter. And they managed to put it together, but not using dairy.
I guess.
Isn't that crazy?
It's not butter.
It's not.
That's the thing. Don't call it butter then. Call it just like the milk thing when they go soy milk and almond milk. Mm. I've never milked an almond.
No.
You know, and I don't recommend that anybody try. It's almond juice, you know, it's soy juice or whatever. And I understand when people like Tammy Baldwin put up these bills saying, no, you should not be able to call something, you know, milk if it's not dairy.
That's right.
And the same goes for this butter. It's kind of reminiscent of the late 40s, 1950s, the butter versus margarine oleo, you know, and for the longest time, margarine was illegal in Wisconsin.
Right.
And like, you know, people would like sneak it into the state, and then you'd have that little colored dye packet to make it look yellow instead of white, you know? So every generation has its own little food wars or food mysteries, as the case may be.
Well, I was used for some of those smuggling trips across the.
You were a mule?
Cheddar, now you can tell
across the cheddar curtain into Illinois. We
crossed the cheddar curtain.
Of that. Yeah.
You were a mule.
We smuggled that yellow stuff. They actually manufactured it down there, and they sold it to Wisconsinites. You know?
Yeah, yeah, they did. And, you know, now we've got a candidate for governor who had been talking about tariffs between states. There would have been checkpoints once again at state borders to make sure that we're not bringing anything in from another state.
Yeah.
Although I think Bill Barry has since figured it out and realized that's not how tariffs work. We can't do it between states.
No.
So,
no.
One of the many issues we get to talk about over the coming year plus in another campaign for governor that we've got here. I've been surprised that we've only had a couple of candidates so far. I thought for sure there'd be a pack of them at this point.
But exactly.
They're not banging down your door or my door, I don't think yet. You know?
No, well, nope. Gordy's thinking about running, but
somebody reached out yesterday and said, now, are you interested? Are you thinking about this at all? And I gave them the Lyndon Johnson line, you know, if nominated, I will not accept. If elected, I will not serve.
Right. Yeah.
I've got a really good gig here right now. I don't know if you've noticed, but I'm rather enjoying this. And as long as, you know, Catherine and everybody else is over there, then I guess I'll. Why would I trade this in for campaigning?
Yeah.
Stop
inciting
my hosts, and maybe you can keep the job.
Okay.
I'll do what I can.
Thankfully, we've got somebody that is excited about campaigning next. State Representative Jody Emerson is standing by and is going to tell us about her duties as a legislator, and maybe we can get her to announce a run for governor.
Yes.
I'd be all over that, as I would for either one of you three, John and Gordy and Catherine. Thanks for joining us from down in A1 in Madison. It's great to talk to you.
Yeah.
Always fun, Pat.
Thank you.
Always appreciate it. We'll talk to you a little later on. And when we come back, the aforementioned State Representative Jody Emerson going to talk about the National Conference of State Legislators, about the work that they do that's geared toward, well, think of it as summer school for legislators. We'll tell you more coming up on these mornings powered by Up North News, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. Remember, you can get our newsletter daily, every weekday morning here. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com, click subscribe in the banner up on top of our homepage, and also get yourself subscribed to our Sunday morning page that talks all about Wisconsin politics, including our question of the week. And this week, it's all about politicians' social media accounts. You know, thanks to people like Derek Van Orden tweeting pictures of a naked man in a ski mask and thinking that it's funny. What should the role be of politicians' personal social media accounts? That's part of our question of the week in our Sunday morning newsletter. In our daily newsletter today, among the articles in there, is one entitled, I Love Wisconsin Dells, But Not for the Reasons You Think. And that is because I think a lot of folks have forgotten over the years that now it's known as the water park capital of the world, but Wisconsin Dells has just a ton of other attractions, a lot of things you can do without ever setting foot into a water park. And so we have an article on our website by Christine Hansen who lists seven of her favorite things to do in Wisconsin Dells that have nothing to do with a water park. And so check that out on our website or find a link at our newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com. State Representative Jody Emerson is with us now from Eau Claire and recently returned from a convention trip to the National Conference of State Legislators that we'll get into. Representative Emerson, how are you?
Good morning, Pat. How you doing?
It's good to see you. Looked like on social media you and Julian had a really nice break, a really nice getaway for a few days.
You know, it's we went out there for the conference and then took a couple extra days of vacation time on our own dime. Don't get a tweet about me or anything like that, but really enjoyed the time out there. We'd never been to New England, so I've eaten more lobster rolls than you can imagine. And he went to a Red Sox game and all kinds of, you know, Boston classics. Yes. Boston classics.
You got to do the lobster roll. You got to do the Sox game. I know. Dunkin' Donuts. It's all there. Strangely enough,
I didn't get Dunkin' Donuts until I was in my connecting flight in O'Hare. So.
Oh, my. But you did. You finally checked it all off the list.
I did.
The National Conference of State Legislators, NCSL, group that I was part of way back when in the day as well. And we're going to talk about the difference between a service-oriented group like that versus some that are, shall we say, a little different, like a group called ALEC. But before we get into that, let's get to NCSL itself. You know, I referred to it as Summer School for Legislators. Tell us about some of the things that benefit legislators who attend conferences like these.
Yeah, so it was an event that had, I think, over 9,500 registrants at that. So you've got legislators from all over the country, all the networking that happens at those events, finding out what our other states are doing, how they've maybe navigated the place that we're in now because they were at it 2 years ago with a certain topic or 5 years ago or something like that. And, you know, legislating is a very strange job. So it's just really nice to be around people who understand this job too, especially in the day and age that we're in. The opening piece for NCSL was about Melissa Hortman and her wife and Senator Hoffman and his wife and the horrific events that happened in Minnesota, where there was the political assassination of state legislators and attempted assassinations. And I think that really set the groundwork for talking about, you know, what it is that we do and in the climate that we do it. So there were some really moving pieces there and talked about how we could tone down the rhetoric, which kind of goes into your piece about, you know, personal Twitter accounts and things like that. But I think that was really good. But the other piece that was really talked about a lot, you know, in the exhibit hall, at the happy hours afterwards, all these things, was everything that is going on in Texas right now. And with the redistricting attempts. So those were kind of the two big pieces, was what happened in Minnesota, what's trying to be happening in Texas. And then there's policy geeks like me that go to a breakout session on higher education and housing and things like that too. So in that sense, it is summer school for state legislators. We're learning from different places. But there's a lot of networking and a lot of camaraderie that happens as well.
And NCSL is a bipartisan group. And so when you do these breakout sessions on all these different policy areas, the thing I liked about it so much is that it is more about research and background on an issue and best practices and people saying, here's what this state tried or here's what my state tried. And you can really kick around ideas. And frankly, if you were going to get, you know, bipartisan legislation, this would be a kind of place where you would get it, where you'd kick around all these ideas and say, okay, well, what could work? Or you could, as a Democrat like you, say, this is the way I want it to work, and this is the way I'm going to write this bill. But there is just so much that you can learn from those sessions. And, you know, like you said, you can pick all kinds of policy areas to look at.
Absolutely. And, you know, and sometimes you also go to one of those policy areas and you see another person from your state there and you go, hey, Senator so-and-so, Representative so-and-so, once we get back home, let's work on this, because obviously we both have the same concern and hope for our state, where we don't necessarily do that too much in the state of Wisconsin where we work together. So that's another piece of it. Or you start to collect business cards, like, you know, baseball trading cards, because you're sitting next to somebody from California and they say, oh yeah, we did that policy 4 years ago. Give me a call. I'll walk you through how we dealt with the different problems that came up along the way. So it's been very helpful, and I've loved going to these conferences. I always come away with way more information than I'll ever use.
Oh yeah.
So, you know.
But it's definitely time well spent. We're talking to
Absolutely.
State Representative Jody Emerson from Eau Claire. And, you know, there are plenty of groups out there, as there are in a lot of industries, that, you know, say they're dedicated toward continuing education or whatever the case may be, They're not all created equal. And that takes us to a group known as ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council, which your Republican colleagues, by and large, are members of, though Democratic legislators have gone basically to hear what's going on there. And that would be an example more of, you know, in the on the Republican side of things, of a think tank going, here are all the principles. Here's the cookie cutter legislation that you can introduce if you want to make, you know, your base happy on the right side of the political spectrum, right?
Yeah. And as you mentioned, you know, Democrats have done that before, too, and gone to it sometimes very quietly, sometimes very not so quietly. In the case of one of my colleagues being kicked out of it, actually, even. But Democrats have kind of tried to sit there and watch what's been happening. I believe Mark Pocan started that back when he was in the assembly. So it's really been going on for a while. And it's good to find out what might be coming down the road. But NCSL and then there's Council of State Governments. Both of them are really just groups that come together to try to network and help legislators actually get good legislation through. As opposed to groups like ALEC that tell you what to do, when to do it, how to do it, and here's the language, whether you like it or not, do it. So,
yeah, essentially, it is long before there was Project 2025, there was ALEC with, you know, these are the steps that you have to take, you know, for taking over this particular policy area. So we get past the trip. We've finished the state budget. The legislature will be back in session in the fall for things beyond the state budget. Are there things that you're working on right now that you're hoping to see passed in the fall session?
Yeah, absolutely. Our Democratic caucus has really been working hard on setting up legislation in just about every area group that you can think of. Whether it's education, higher education, labor rights, environment, criminal justice, about this is what we would do if we had power. And that's something that we're really hoping to look at coming in the fall with the election under the new maps again. Democrats have a real shot at taking the majority in both the Senate and the Assembly. And I look at what we could do with a trifecta. And so let's make sure that we can work out the kinks this year. Here's the pieces that we're going to pass. Let's have the arguments today. Let's have the arguments next month. Let's figure out what we want to do so that we've got a roadmap to governing. I think that's really important for us to work on.
Well, and then there'll be, of course, a big governor's race, and then some of the other races that may...
There's a governor's race coming up next year? I missed that. Is.
And while we're busy trying to recruit you to run, you're busy being recruited to endorse. And, you know, that primary is going to happen without a Jody Emerson endorsement, I sense.
You know, it's one of those races that when you have several friends and true friends, not just people that I've worked with before, but true friends in this race. And my district is just so close. I don't anticipate endorsing in this race. I think my biggest hope is that we have a really good quality candidate that comes out of the primary and that the party can fully get behind and go for, because keeping that office in Democratic hands is so important. I've never served under a Republican governor, and I'm going to work really, really hard to make sure that I don't in the coming sessions, because having Governor Evers' veto pen has been so incredibly important. I can't imagine what it would be like without that office.
No, and I know some of your colleagues did have to do that during the Walker years and would be... thrilled not to repeat that, and perhaps get the trifecta, and perhaps build on the Wisconsin Supreme Court majority, because you'll have that coming up next April as well. So you're not going to be bored.
No, there's a few things going on. Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, I didn't set you up for this ahead of time, but I want to put this on your to-do list. I'd love to have you come back with the hat on of the work that you've done against human trafficking.
Absolutely.
We've talked in the past about legislation you're working on, And at some point, because we don't have time for it here, but hearing Donald Trump, the president of the United States, talking about him and Jeffrey Epstein and the young women that, you know, he stole to come here or to work there. And I don't know that I've ever heard few, if any, people mentioning the words human trafficking, but it sure struck me as something in that vein. And I'd love to have you come back on and talk a bit about how, you know, when people think of human trafficking, they think of like one particular kind, but it describes a whole range of things. And I hope you'll put that hat back on and talk to us about that real soon.
I would love to. I mean, that is my area of passion in policy that got me into this job, and would love to talk your ear off about it. But speaking of talking your ear off, I did want to talk a little bit, if we have time, about what's going on in Texas with the redistricting, because that was really the talk of, of the town.
Then hold that thought. Let's come through the break. We'll talk to Jody Emerson more about what's happening in Texas, and then Greg Bach will join us to talk about what's coming up on Matt and Air on Air. And then tomorrow here on the program, we'll have Dan Schaefer, Hans Breitenmoser, Chad Holmes, and Jeff Renneke from way up north. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
All right, the Milwaukee Brewers coming off sweeping the Mets and sweeping Atlanta and sweeping the Nationals. Bring their brooms back to American Family Field, hoping to do the same with the Pittsburgh Pirates. A 9-game winning streak on the line. Taking on Pittsburgh pregame begins at 6:05 on several Civic Media radio stations across the state. A couple of final minutes here with State Representative Jody Emerson, and then Greg Bach is standing by to tell us what's coming up on Matt and Air on Air. But Jody, we were getting into the legislators in Texas, the Democratic ones, leaving the state to deny a quorum so that the Republicans could not put corrupt maps into place and steal more seats in Congress. Obviously a big discussion point there at the National Conference of State Legislators.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, that was the talk. There wasn't any sessions on it, but that was kind of the talk of everybody in the exhibit hall and the happy hours and things like that. Doing just some talking with people and a little bit of back of the napkin math, it's ironic that the very strongly held Democratic states, for the most part, have already implemented nonpartisan redistricting commissions. And so for more states to do what Texas is attempting to do to offset what is going to happen, is it's going to be a Herculean task for everybody to do. I think Illinois is our only big Dem state that doesn't have independent redistricting. And so there was a lot of conversations about that. But I just want your listeners to understand what is on the line in Texas here. I don't know how much this has been talked about in Wisconsin. So many of us have fought so hard for nonpartisan redistricting in Wisconsin for so long. And what's happening is Trump called Governor Abbott of Texas and said, hey, I need to shore up my seats here and my Congress. So can you readjust the maps down there? Get rid of Crockett because I don't like her as a person, and make sure to give me 5 more seats. So even if the sales of the election go in the Democratic favor next year, I'm still going to have a Republican Congress to deal with. And so that was a lot of what these Texas legislators are doing. They're flying to California and New York and Illinois, Massachusetts, and things like that to see if there's other seats that what we can do as state legislators. This is our democracy on the line. This is our republic on the line. If we allow this to happen, we're never going to have fair maps anywhere ever again. If a state legislature can redistrict mid-session, mid-decade, mid-census, to shore up the power of an executive in D.C., it it breaks my heart, especially in the context of being there in Boston, seeing what we've gone through as a country to start our country and the revolution and no kings, and speaking out. What's happening in Texas and across the country is our democracy on the line.
Yeah, these are monarchists, some of these MAGA folks, and we just need to call it out as such. State Representative Jody Emerson from Eau Claire, thank you again for the update on the conference and everything about the trip. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Take care. Thanks, Pat.
All right. Thanks, Jody. Let's bring in Greg Bach now from Radio Park, who's going to be part of, do that. There you go. Madison.
I am.
There, Matt and Air on Air.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi there.
It's Monday. I'm just grabbing any buttons and pushing them over here. several folks down your way dealing with flooded basements and
yes.
flooded cars and all kinds of things. How about now? You are in an area, Kenosha, that didn't get nearly the amount of rain of say West Dallas and Tulsa, right?
Oh my gosh, no! We had storms on Saturday night, and we went to bed with it raining, and then woke up the next day and kind of just it was fine and. And then I saw all the reports and I saw everything coming out, and I have in my life living in Wisconsin, specifically southeastern Wisconsin, my entire life I've never seen flooding like this ever.
No, this is absolutely crazy. And, everybody knew, there was rain in the forecast, but the opening up of the skies like that was, and what I saw in Wauwatosa, I'm familiar with that area, and to watch these otherwise, placid little rivers and creeks, just become these giant raging torrents was, downright frightening for the folks who were in that area. So I'm sure you will be talking about that as part of Matt and Air on Air today. What else you got going on?
Absolutely. At 9:35, we got Sholly Pittman, who is Civic Media's news director, on the show to talk about the flooding. Also to discuss the bills that Governor Evers has both vetoed as well as signed, and to talk about what's going forward with the budget. And we're going to also discuss the fact that because of the Trump cuts coming out of Washington, what it's going to do to affect our libraries possibly, as well as if you're interested in getting solar panels, because funding for that grants for that will most likely be cut, and that will have definite effects. But don't worry, Governor Evers is on the case. He wants to keep those grants for Wisconsin to make sure we can get lower and better efficiency with lower prices.
Yeah, again, it comes back to, like Jody Emerson mentioned, his veto pen. There are things that he can propose and wants to sign. Mm-hmm. There are other ideas that have to get vetoed. We spoke earlier about one of his vetoes was a bill that would essentially affect delivery drivers in the gig economy. Yeah. And, it's being billed as something that would provide benefits to these workers. But it was a very one-sided bill. It was what the industry wants to give to the workers. And the governor said, yeah, benefits are important, but how about if we have input from the workers as well? So he vetoed the bill and said, let's try this again. We're going to talk to former state representative Dana Walks about that on Wednesday. So you have a busy day ahead of you.
Oh, yes. And as always, we have Audio Sorbet at 10:35. And we're going to wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Smooth Move edition, this one provided by the very handsome and capable Luke Mathers, and also a very unbelievable story. But yeah, stay tuned for that.
There you go. Consider yourself teased, folks. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Have a very good day. Parker Olson, thank you for producing this fine little shindig. You have a good day out there as well.
Thank you for hosting it.
Thank you. It's my job. Tomorrow, Dan Schaefer, Hans Breitenmoser, Chad Holmes, Jeff Renicki, and much more. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Have a wonderful day. Follow what I do at upnorthnewswi.com. We'll see you back here tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. Up North.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.